Hi, this is Denise Bossert at CatholicByGrace.blogspot.com, and you are listening to Catholic Vitamins with Deacon Tom and Dee. Thanks for joining us.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
My golly, it's warm close in the podcast palace today, Dee.
I know. What did you just realize? That we have our automatic thermostat set for it to not go on so much during the day, because during the week, we're just in and out so much.
Yeah, we are.
But
we
here
are.
It is. It's Saturday.
And we're here.
And it's warm.
We can go downstairs and make an adjustment to that later, I guess.
Well, you could crank up your ceiling fan here a little bit.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, everyone. You can already tell we're into prattle. We haven't even said what the show is.
Did we even say who we were?
The lady did.
And oh, that's right.
Did she say the lovely Tom, or did she say the lovely? All right. Pat Gohn, thank you for being our opening. Oh, thanks to Denise Bossert for the nice little plug. Denise Bossert is an accomplished writer. She writes for maybe 30 different diocesan newspapers from time to time. She teaches. I mean, she's just wonderful. We were glad to have her as a guest a couple times on Catholic Vitamins.
We meet the most talented people.
We do, we do. I hope we meet her in person. She's one of the ones on my bucket list.
Oh, gosh. Our bucket list. For meeting people in person, our bucket list is full.
Maybe we need to take around the United States time off.
Well, I suggested that many times, and you just don't pay attention to me.
Well, this has not been exactly a profit-making thing that we're doing here, and I don't know where that money would come from.
Maybe somebody out there would, like, loan us a nice, big,
RV?
Fancy RV.
Ooh.
And we could just tell the diocese we're going to take a sabbatical.
Should we tell people what happened when we rented an RV a lot of years ago?
No.
Somebody was driving over curbs while the deacon was trying to do hot dogs and beans.
Well,
I know,
should
I know.
The deacon have been trying to cook when the thing is moving? No.
Well, I thought it was on a straight line. All right. So we had stuff all over the floor. It was kind of fun.
That was a fun trip.
Yeah, it was. Well, this is Catholic Vitamin D, and the vitamin, the faith vitamin, the topic D.
Detachment.
Detachment. And no one correctly guessed. We had guesses, but not the
correct ones.
No, no. So detachment is the word.
And our guest is Kim Cook.
Now, I, you know, Dee, how I get pumped up from time to time.
How about all the time?
Well, I know. I love our faith. I'm so excited about our faith. And when I discovered Kim Cook and made outreach to her, she was enthusiastic in her response. And the time that we spent together preparing our interview was just so wonderful. I just was filled with the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit after talking with her. I look forward to bringing that interview to our listeners in a little while. I want to talk about, this is prattle, folks, vitamin P for prattle. I want to talk about a new listener, Leslie Kasha, is that her name?
I think so, yes.
She probably is surprised if she hears the show and wonders why her name is being mentioned. The thing is she signed up as a friend, and then didn't she take...
On Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, Friends of Catholic Vitamins on Facebook. And then she took a guess, and she won...
The correct guess for the last one, C.
Oh, was it that?
Vitamin C.
So, D does a package, which we normally do. And sometimes we put the CD in, sometimes we'll put a book in, mm-hmm. and sometimes we'll put in Vita Sweet Treats. And I'm just going to say that the cost to us, this is not profit-making, the cost to Tom and Dee is about $5 to $10 for what we package up, the sweet treats and the envelope and whatever. And then I went to the post office.
And it cost twice as much to ship it because she lives in another country.
She was in England, I think. And Leslie, we really appreciate you listening. But I think we're going to have to say from now on, Dee, that maybe we'll send a nice note.
What if somebody
wins in a foreign country?
I don't want to discourage anybody from participating.
Well, I know, but I mean, like...
Well, in the 4.5 years that we've been doing this, we have had winners in
Poland,
in Italy, Saudi Arabia.
Yes, yes.
Abu Dhabi. Where else?
Well, the idea is that we've been footing the bill for that. I think I'm just going to be sort of cautious about saying that we'll do foreign countries unless we find a less expensive way, maybe just a single CD or something so that it's not bulky. And
we'll have to turn herself into a nonprofit. And
no, we are not profit.
Well, yeah, you know what. I mean officially, so we could have donations.
All right. Well, what else do we have? You want to do anything else for Prattle, or do you want to move?
Well, maybe just since we were talking about correct guesses and things this week, one of the guesses that came in that was not correct was from our new friend Mike Klett, who has the Coffee with Mike podcast, which I was going to plug anyway.
Oh.
He said, "Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, I'm still enjoying your podcast, and I listened to Care, Vitamin Care, in time to play by the Scrabble this week. I couldn't think of anything, so I went to a website crossword cheat sheet."
Oh, gosh.
Site that he says, does that disqualify me?
Well, I'm glad for the honesty.
And he came up with De Montfort.
Now, that's a good guess. It really is. Out of the format of what we do with our faith vitamins, but that's a great guess. And we've taken the De Montfort consecration to Jesus through Mary multiple times.
And hope to do it again this summer.
Yeah, this summer after we come back from our trip. And we'll talk about our trip a little bit later in the show.
So I was just going to continue and say that I have been listening to Mike's podcast since we found out about it. He's fairly new. He's only got 20-some episodes, I think. I think he's coming up to his 25th. He wants to do kind of like a meet and greet live recording or something out in California where he lives. Wish we could be out there, but we can't for his 25th. And he just changed his format like 2 episodes ago, whereas before he was a very short podcast, like 15 minutes, which is nice. I mean, you can listen to that in no time. But he changed his format to just reading what he had prepared to just kind of talking off the cuff. And I told him I like it much better.
Oh.
So I think he's going to continue with that sort of format. But doing it that way, just talking, he said he managed to go up to like 20 minutes or so. But I don't mind 20 minutes. It's a lot less than most of the podcasts I listen to.
Thank you for giving him permission to do that.
Well, yes, Mike. He relies on my guidance and my input.
Do you know, we've talked about the Bones TV show.
Oh, gosh, don't bring that up.
All right. Very much. I live with Bones, dear friends. Blessings, and we'll be back.
Stay away with me. Bow your head, pray to the Father, but don't sleep. Stay awake with me. I'll be in the garden preparing for my journey. I've been your teacher, been your leader. I've been a fisher and your friend. I've been a healer, save the sinner, and I'll be with you in the end. Oh, stay awake with me. Bow your head, pray to the Father, my journey.
Well, that lovely voice was Billy Tarasio, an unusual story, a wonderful singer. And I think she could have been, you know, a great popular singer in her own right. And she's become a lawyer. She's down in the Phoenix area. And she came on Catholic Vitamins as a guest one time, even after she had given up most of her musical career. She's married and has a wonderful family, and we're so happy for her. That album, the song was Stay Awake With Me from her album Send Me. And Dee, just before we do a moment of other prattle, remember this morning we were with our dear friend Peggy for breakfast,
mm-hmm.
and she was talking about how she had spent time in adoration and she had been meditating a little bit on the Passion. So I just thought
the first time she's ever spent more than an hour.
Yeah, it was just wonderful. Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy for her and happy that she found adoration and she's doing it.
I want to give a little plug for Sister Kathleen Glavich's new book.
Oh, yes.
She's been on our show several times, but she wanted us to know that she had a new book out called Catechism of the Catholic Church, and it's adapted for children.
Mm.
What was I going to say? Oh, and she also said, and parents and teachers. And she said it took first place in the Association of Catholic Publishers Award recently in the category of children's books.
Great, great. We love Sister Kathleen Glavich and her work. Thank you for letting us know about that. And up next will be our special interview with our guest, Kim Cook. Well, I have a smile on my heart and a smile on my face. I'm on the phone with Kim Cook, a lady that I discovered through the Franciscan Way magazine. You've listeners to Catholic Vitamins will have heard Dee and I talking about Franciscan University for years and years. And I saw a one-page article. It was called Surprise Mission, and it was about the experiences of Kim Cook. And I was sort of taken with the article and how it could feed into our vitamin for this show, Catholic Vitamin D for Detachment. And so I reached out and she joyously responded, Kim, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so much, Deacon Tom. I'm happy to be here.
Well, great, great. So before you were a graduate from Franciscan and before you were a young teen, who was Kim and where were you born and raised?
Okay, I was born and raised in the Baltimore, Maryland area, and I was raised Catholic family, but I guess you would say in a way Catholic in not so much name only because we were going to Mass on Sundays, but it wasn't really permeating so much in the home. We weren't doing much more than just going to Mass. So faith was just kind of something that you did on Sundays.
Okay, all right. And so that pretty much described your early years as you moved towards becoming a teenager?
Yes. So as I moved towards becoming a teenager, I mean, I had always enjoyed going to church and enjoyed the faith and everything like that until I began to question the faith, as I think a lot of people do in their teenage or early adulthood. And so my brother and I had kind of, you know, we decided we didn't like going to the CCD program, the Catholic Education Program for confirmation, and when we were in middle school. And so we asked my parents, you know, we kind of bugged them constantly to stop going to church and, you know, it was a waste of time and everything. And finally they gave in and said, fine, we're not going to church anymore. So all through high school, for those 4 years of high school, we didn't go to church, and I never made my confirmation. And then, as you can imagine, as a teenager, I was like, this is awesome. You know, we don't have to go to church anymore. But then the fruit of that, which was not good fruit, started to take effect, and I felt very depressed and that something was really missing in my life. I didn't really realize that it was God at the time, but I just kind of felt almost despair in a way, a real lack of hope during those years. And so that is kind of what happened in the teenage years. And of course, when you feel that way, you start trying to fill the void with anything and everything else. You start looking around for what's missing.
Mm-hmm. I won't even explore where that may have taken you. But as I was listening just a second or two ago to your words about quitting CCD and taking those classes, I could imagine the words were coming out. They're boring and they're not very exciting, mm-hmm. and they're not really teaching us anything. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mm-hmm. mouth, but I hear that sort of thing about religious ed programs and teenagers, and it's the constant struggle in many churches. So, you know, it seems like from not going to church at all, recognizing there's a hole in the soul, to quote the thoughts of St. Augustine in Confessions, and the fact that I know that your story is going to take us to Franciscan University. How did this happen?
Yes, that is a great question. And the beauty of Franciscan University is that it's such a refuge for so many people that come back to the faith, as well as converts, as well as people that were homeschooled in a great faith-filled family. It's kind of this merge of all of us together, but we're all seeking the Lord and seeking Him together. And that is the awesome, you know, power of Franciscan University, is that everyone there is just coming from all these different places and just seeking Him with all their heart. And for me, I'm a very passionate person, and I have a lot of zeal for whatever I'm doing. And one of those things, and yes, everything that you said, Deacon Tom, with the it's boring, I'm not getting anything out of it, you know, I didn't feel like a lot of the teachers that I had were very passionate about the faith. And a lot of times, you know, I was very inquisitive and very philosophical, and so I would ask a lot of deep questions and, you know, really dig down into things. And a lot of times I didn't get the answers from adults. My parents didn't have the answers. My CCD teachers didn't have the answers. And they kind of, instead of trying to find those answers for me, just kind of brushed it off. And it was always, we do this because we do this, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just the way it is. And I didn't feel like that was good enough. Why would we just do something because we, you know, everyone else does? Or it seemed to kind of go against what the faith would teach, to just do things because everyone else was doing them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it, a lot of the rebellion came from not having the answers I was looking for, and so then saying, maybe this isn't the truth. If nobody knows why they're doing it, maybe we don't have the truth. That was my big question and my big motivation. So then I guess to answer your question, what led me? Well, I went throughout high school into, you know, I was very into music. I played guitar, and I wound up getting into a band. It was an all-girl band, and, you know, we did a good bit of traveling through the end of high school and even after high school. And it was just like a rock band. And the whole time, as my life kind of went further away from God, I kept on feeling like I was seeking more and more, and it was leading me more towards God. So I kind of had these two, you know, bipolar opposites in my life working against each other. And thankfully, the one seeking God won.
And how did that, I mean, did you go to like a youth conference or did something happen that you decided I want to try Franciscan?
Yes. Well, what happened was I had never heard of Franciscan University. And like I said, with my faith, I had not been raised in a household that, you know, was where the faith was taught in the sense of learning about the saints and learning about the rosary. We just went to Mass on Sundays, and so I learned whatever we learned in church. And what happened was after, I guess about a year after high school, I started to study philosophy. I went to I began at a just local community college, and I started studying philosophy. And a lot of times, you know, people say that philosophy is the gateway drug to religion, you know, because you just, you know, you learn about this stuff, and then, of course, you learn about St. Augustine and a lot of times about St. Thomas Aquinas, because they fall under that umbrella of philosophy. And I was learning about all these philosophers, and then it was like St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas really rung true. And at the same time, I was introduced to a Catholic man in our community who did a lot of young adult programs and youth programs, and he was just a lay man. Him and his wife were very faithful, and his three sons had all went to Franciscan University. And somebody introduced me to him and said, you really have got to meet this guy because he can answer all of these questions that you're searching for. So I met him, and it was very true that it was like everything that I was able to ask him, I said, well, what about this? You know, thinking that I was so used to being able to stump people, and he was like, well, and he just answered it so eloquently, and he knew, you know, he had the zeal, he had the passion, but he also had the theology behind it. So I continued to, you know, engage in these great theological conversations with him. And at the same time, another one of my parents' friends sent me a whole box full of different Catholic paraphernalia, I guess you could say, with it had Scott Hahn books, and it had a book on Padre Pio, and that was a big thing for me. The Padre Pio book, I started reading it. I had never heard of Padre Pio, and he gripped me. I believed everything in that book, and I knew that if this was happening, and if God was doing this work through this Franciscan priest, there was something to be said about what God could do for me. Mm-hmm. And then the family friend that I said who I was introduced to, he said, ultimately, you've got to go check out Steubenville.
Okay. And so you did that. You went for what, a tour, a weekend visit or something?
Exactly, yes. Well, I told my parents, you know, I'm thinking about this Catholic school. And they were shocked because, you know, they knew that I was kind of on this path, this quest of searching, and I was really interested. I was kind of studying different religions, like just interested in religion in general and kind of seeing where I fit in, I guess you could say. And I never thought that my journey would bring me back to the church that I was baptized in. I thought, okay, well, I've already checked the Catholic Church, and that didn't work out, so let's see what else there is, you know. And so they were shocked that I said I wanted to go visit a small Catholic college that was very charismatic, and they were just kind of trying to talk me out of it at first, saying that, well, what was my major going to be? What was I planning to do? And so I kind of got all that together, and we decided, you know, we were going to go check it out. And I actually had a an amazing mystical experience, which was my confirmation that I was supposed to go to Steubenville, because I was praying a lot and God was giving me a lot of graces because he knew, I think, that I was wandering. And, you know, I could have gone two ways at that point in time, but I was praying a lot that he would show me the way to go. And I think that he kind of took a cue from Padre Pio, because I was so into Padre Pio at that time, and he's a mystical saint. And I think God gave me a real blessing. And so the mystical experience was that I went to my parish, my local parish that I was going to, because at that time I started to go back to church, and I actually went through RCIA and was confirmed. And there was a beautiful statue of Our Lady, and she has her arms out, extended as if a child was running up to her, and she's extending her arms down and out to the child. And it's a handcrafted statue. And so I was just kneeling there, praying and just saying, you know, Blessed Mother, please help me to figure out where I'm supposed to go, what's going on. And I heard in my heart her say to me, let me lift you up. It was very clear. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what that meant. You know, I was like, wow, this is incredible. At first, I actually looked around the church to see if somebody had said it, because it was so clear. I thought somebody was speaking it to me, but nobody was there. And so I said, okay, I don't know if that really helps me right now. Like, yes, I'm going to let you lift me up. I'm going to let you direct me, but I don't really know what that means.
Kim, this is absolutely just beautiful. Can I do a sidebar for just a second?
Sure.
We are closely connected with Madonna House, which is headquartered up in Canada, but has field houses all over the world. And the statue that you described sounds like Our Lady of Combermere, which is a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary running with her arms wide open to wrap her children in her arms. Do you know about the statue that you described?
I don't. No, I don't. I mean, it's there, and I've always loved it, but I don't know if it's a specific image of Our Lady or...
Well, offline, after you and I finish our time together, I'm going to give you a link to go to, which is not going to be anything secret. It is madonnahouse.org, I think, but I want to confirm that before I give it to you. And look at the image. It would be just a beautiful coincidence and a touch on the shoulder from the Lord and his mother, if it turns out this statue is the same as the one.
Right.
That you had the experience with. All right, so a mystical experience. You have taken or are taking RCIA classes, and then I guess comes the decision to go to Franciscan.
Well, yes, there's another part to the mystical experience. So I heard, you know, the Blessed Mother say, "Let me lift you up," and you know, she had her arms extended. So I thought, okay, you know, wow, that's amazing. I don't know how she's going to necessarily lift me up, but I trust that, you know, God's looking out for me. The Blessed Mother is going to intercede somehow. So I went with my parents from Maryland to Steubenville, and the way that I had heard it described by so many people and, you know, by reading some of Scott Hahn's works and things like that, I was thinking it's going to be this amazing place where as soon as you drive up, you know, angels lift your car up. And, you know, sometimes you can hear things spoken about in such a way that you almost, like, your expectations are different. And so you're looking for instance, I was thinking that the campus was going to be magnificent and pristine and the most beautiful place I ever saw. And it is a very Franciscan, humble, simple, small, quaint. You know, there's no pool on campus. There's no all these, you know, an amazing exercise room or theater or some of the things that other big schools might have and might be an attraction to people just aren't there. And so at first glance, going to that school, you might think it's just a glorified high school. You know, there's not, it doesn't have all of the bells and whistles that sell a lot of other campuses. So I was looking at it first from a very worldly perspective and saying, oh, this is it? You know, this is Franciscan University? And but the spirit at the school, everybody smiled at you, and everybody had this joy in their eyes. And when they spoke, they had this passion and this zeal for life in general. And that really struck me. And it struck my parents, too, because they were not at all sold on Franciscan. They thought we were going to go there, see it, be able to check it off the list, and drive back home. So, you know, I went around the school, and I was like, okay, pros and cons, but I wasn't totally convinced that that was where I was supposed to go. And I was a little bit bummed about that because I thought God was really going to confirm it when I was there. So the person that was giving us the tour, you know, it came to an end, and she said, okay, well, the last place is the Porciuncula, which is a little chapel that is a replica of the one St. Francis built in Assisi. And, you know, we said, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and go there. So we went to the Porciuncula. It was a beautiful little chapel, knelt down and prayed, and I waited for God to do something, say something, confirm something. Nothing happened. So I was like, oh, geez. And so we left the little Porciuncula, and I walked around the back of the Porciuncula, and there was a huge grotto of the Blessed Mother with her hands extended straight up in the air to the sky, looking up, and I heard that same voice again, and it said, here is where I will lift you up.
Oh, wow. Wow, does that make me tender? Wow. How beautiful is that?
So, yes, that was, so there was the two halves, and I had to wait for the other half of the confirmation, which I didn't know, you know, okay, it's going to be that clear. And at that point, you know, I got in the car, my parents were waiting, and I got in the car, and they said, so what do you think, you know, where are we going to go from here, or what's the plan? And I said, I'm going here. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what? What do you mean? And I thought you weren't sure, and the whole day you were kind of like up and down. And I said, nope, this is it. This is where I belong. I'm coming here. And, you know, that, I mean, Steubenville profoundly changed my life to where I am now, but it also changed my parents' lives. Their faith is very deep now, and so many family friends were affected as well. So it's just by me being able to say yes and go there and be a part of that, it wasn't only my life that was changed through my college experience there, but many, many other people that the Lord wanted to affect and to touch through that.
I almost don't want to leave this area because it is, it's making me very tender, and it also is very much the spirit of what we've shared on Catholic Vitamins through our own stories, our personal stories, and the stories of the guests that we've had on. I do want to make just one little sidebar observation. Did you ever stay in the Tommy Moore dorm?
No, I did not.
Now, that's the building that they have us deacons and priests check into when we go there for our annual retreat and conference. And I thought that was one of the dorms that the ladies used, but maybe it was another group or another.
Yeah, that is one of the female residences, but that I was never in that dorm.
Okay. And then, you know, the other thing I want to say is how you've actually demonstrated a couple ways our vitamin of detachment. It sounds to me as if God had given you sufficient grace that you could be detached from the outcome of a couple things that you faced. One was, what is this meaning about being lifted up, the first part of the mystical experience, and then being detached enough to wait until you got the answer, which came at the small chapel, which I've been in and done adoration in many times. So I know exactly where you're speaking of. It's a holy ground. I've said that all of Franciscan is on holy ground, and you've demonstrated that so well. Well, listen, there's another part to your story that we need to get into, and I had promised I would only keep you for a certain amount of time, although I'm really enjoying this.
That's okay.
So someplace during your journey, you were going to be a part of a mission trip. Why don't you share with our listeners what the setup to this was? What is the mission trip about, and what were your expectations?
Yes, so this, I guess, kind of follows my journey with the Lord, and you can see how it constantly plays out. And it's funny because we all have a different relationship with the Lord, and He has to bend and shape us and fight with some of us more than others. And I have a spiritual director who calls me Paula as a nickname because he says I'm like the female version of St. Paul. So I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. But so with the mission trip, the particular year that I was going on my first mission trip there, I had, again, these expectations. I always seem to have these expectations of grandeur in a way, and then God had to show me how humble is beautiful and how the things that I always, you know, had planned for myself were never what would really make me happy. And the same thing with the mission trip. I had this idea that going on a mission trip was going to be so much fun because it could be in a different country, and wouldn't it be fun to go somewhere Spanish-speaking and I could practice my Spanish, or to be able to go to Jamaica or one of these tropical places that people were going to. And obviously, that was not the point of a mission trip at all. And I think God had that, you know, in mind when He set this up. And what happened was, it was the, as far as I know, the only year that they had to do this, but they had so many people sign up to go on a mission trip that semester that they had to do a lottery system. So you put your name in, and they actually, there was a bowl, and everyone put their name in, and they would draw people's names, and each one would go in one of the slots for the mission trip. So it was all going to be random, and I was really, really hoping that I was going to be chosen, you know, one of the first names, because I thought, okay, the first names are going to be the best places, and then the last names are just going to be the leftover places that nobody wants to go. And so my name was one of the first ones called. I was so excited. And, you know, you got called to come up to the bowl, and you picked out your own destination. So I got called, and I was just imagining, oh, where is it going to be? And I opened it up, and it said the Bronx.
The Bronx. Hoy
yeah,
vey.
The Bronx of New York. So, I mean, I thought it was like a joke or something, you know. I didn't even know that was a mission trip, and I was, like, very disappointed. And the funny thing is, my dad's family came from that area. Both of my parents are from New York, and my dad's family particularly came from that area. And I've always heard horror stories about, you know, how the family struggled to get out of that area because it was so bad, and a lot of, you know, people immigrated from other countries and came to that area, and then it was, you know, there was a lot of crime and there was a lot of poverty, and people were always trying to get out. And I never wanted to visit or go to the South Bronx. And then here I was picking this little piece of paper that said I was going there on a mission trip for my spring break.
My. Well, did you learn detachment there as well?
Absolutely. Yes. God knew what He was doing. You know, I did submit to Him, and I said, okay, I'm going to be detached from all the things that I was looking forward to, and I'm going to, I guess, pick up the cross and the bucket and the mop and whatever else you want me to pick up, and I'm going to do the work that you want me to do, and we'll see what comes out of this. This will be a sacrifice. And it wound up being amazing and incredible. And we stayed with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, who are incredible friars and very holy men. And I learned so much from them, and we had so much fun with them. So their spirit and their joy was contagious. And it really just penetrated all of our hearts. And it was a very joyful experience. And I had a number of incredible revelations and small experiences with people. And one in particular was right there in none other than their Padre Pio homeless shelter that they have, the friars. And what happened was we were cooking and serving the men, and the friars then said, okay, go take your plates and go sit down with the men and just make conversation. And I was thinking, what? I thought we were just serving. I didn't know we were supposed to go sit down with them. I don't know what to say. And it was a little bit intimidating because I had never done anything like that before. So I, you know, got my tray and went and sat down next to a man, and I, you know, just kind of started up a conversation. Hi, how are you doing? And the next thing you knew, we were in the depths of a conversation in which he was telling me about his life, and he was, you know, this well-educated businessman who had a family and a wife and kids and a nice house. And what happened was he experienced this terrible loss in which his wife and his children and his brother and mother were all in the van together. I think they were traveling and he had to finish work and was going to meet them or something for the vacation. And they wound up getting into an accident and all of them died. And then at that point, he couldn't handle life anymore to lose that many close people at one time. And he actually just walked out of his house and never went back and just started living on the streets from that point on. And that was his way of not being able to face it. And I was so moved because, you know, a lot of times we do have all these preconceived notions of people and these prejudices, even though we try not to, and we think, okay, a homeless person, and you never think of them being somebody who was well-educated with a family and went through this tragic loss. And that was something that I needed to hear because I never looked at somebody on the street the same again, ever.
Well, that is just a beautiful, beautiful story. And, you know, I really, really hope that we're able to follow you and to stay in touch. And that sort of leads me to share with our listeners that our guest, Kimberly Cook, is a freelance writer. She's a contributor over at CatholicMom.com. She is a blogger, and I have been on her website called lionofdesign.blogspot.com. Where did the name come from, Lion of Design?
So that is kind of a play on the Lion of Judah, because the blog in general is supposed to be about it. I do a lot of projects on there, so there's a different section for, you know, projects and things like that, so kind of like designs and artwork and stuff like that. So the lion played into perspective with the Lion of Judah, who is Christ, and him kind of being in control and in the lead of everything. So as well with my writing and artwork and speaking and whatever else I do, he's always at the front of that, the pack.
So it says here that you can read your articles on faith, art, and motherhood at Lion of Design. And the fact that it mentions motherhood makes me say I was remiss in the early part of our time together to give you an opportunity. Tell us about your personal life. You're married.
Yes, sir. I am married to a wonderful man who is actually a convert And he converted his senior year of college after not being raised in any faith whatsoever growing up. And so you can imagine that he's also a very passionate person filled with zeal, that he found Christ and found the Catholic Church from nothing, absolutely nothing. And so he is just a man of God. And then we have two little boys so far, and hoping for many more, God willing. We have Caleb is our oldest son, and then we have Thomas, named after Thomas More, is our youngest son.
Well, I can't remember. I think I said to you in my outreach that every interview on Catholic Vitamins comes with 20 hours of free babysitting. So if we found a way to get together, you could take us up on it. We just love children and young families a whole lot. And this has been, you know, just one of the greater joys of being on Catholic Vitamins for all these years. And we hear wonderful life stories. Sometimes they're just down the pew from us, and sometimes they're found in authors or speakers or in a bishop. Like, we had Bishop Conley on one time, and he had been taking a course, a two-year course, on great books of the world, and came to the point of conversion in his life, and that was one of our vitamins. So, but Kim, I promise you, this has been just a great joy, and I'm hopeful that we can stay in touch.
Yes, absolutely.
Our guest has been Kim Cook. She's back east, and I guess somebody is watching one of the children, and you said you had another one nearby, but he was happy and content. Thank your husband if he's a part of the quiet that we were able to enjoy for this sharing. And
yes, he took both of them out to the playground.
Oh, he did. We promise we will keep you in our prayers, Kim.
Thank you so much.
Well, Dee, can you tell us that was one of my favorite recent interviews?
I just broke into a big smile when she was describing what she found when she got to Franciscan University.
Yeah.
The smiling faces, everybody friendly, and just this feeling you get when you're there. I mean, you've been talking about it for years now. I've experienced it a few times.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. The students, the staff, everybody is just filled with holy joy. And I am looking forward. It'll just be a couple weeks till I'm back on campus for another week of praise and worship and talks and whatever. So
we have a young man here in our parish who wants to go to Franciscan, so we got to make sure that we have him listen to this one.
We're praying for Timothy, for sure. Well, Kim, thank you so much once again, and we hope you will be a listener to Catholic Vitamins so you know what we're doing, and we hope to stay in touch with you and help in any way we can for anything that you're doing.
I'm going to jump in here now and welcome three new friends to our Catholic Vitamins, Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
All right.
Marianne Delaney, Gregory Ung, and Don Arsenault. I hope I'm pronouncing those names correctly.
Right.
Don actually won a prize from us just a couple weeks ago.
Right. Is he in the United States?
Yes.
All right. So any other words that we have to do? I want to say a word about our plans, Dee. We don't have our award-winning staff of journalists with us or contributors this week.
I think they've all gone into summer mode.
Yeah, I know.
Summer vacation mode.
I wonder if this is some way like, you know, the fast food workers are pushing for a raise. I wonder if our staff is trying to do something.
They're boycotting us.
I know.
They're going on strike.
Well, we are getting ready to leave in a few days, and we are heading to Colorado for the 10th anniversary of my ordination as a deacon. Several of our classmates will be meeting to go to Mass, and we'll all be participating wearing red for the Feast of Pentecost. Our wives will be there, and then we're having a barbecue afterwards. That'll be just a great joy to be with them.
I'm really looking forward to that, because in the 7 years we've been down here, we have not seen many of those people.
Right, right. And we were together for four years. It was a very deep period of bonding and getting to know each other's families very well, sharing quite a bit.
Yeah, that's going to be special for us.
After that, we start to head towards the east, stopping for a brief visit in Missouri.
Hopefully.
And then stopping for a brief visit with our son in Indiana, on the outskirts of Indianapolis. And then on to Pennsylvania, where we'll spend a few days. I'll leave you there and go back over to Franciscan University and check in for the week-long retreat with priests and deacons. And, you know, we've become, some of us priests and deacons have become good friends. And I just sent a letter off to a priest from Wisconsin that I've bonded with over the years, and it's be a great joy to see him and others as well.
I know somebody in Ohio who would love it if we'd jump off the interstate and
who's that?
Have a McDonald's with him.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen. But
dear Sarah Reinhart, she's a sweetie for sure. And she's, you know, she's moved up in the world. She's like, you know, number two person at Catholic Mom, and wow, I mean, she's really doing well. Plus her books. We should find out and check in with her sometime.
Yeah, I don't know how she'd have any time to come see us.
I know.
Okay, should we do Vita Scrabble?
Vita Scrabble. How does this work?
We are going to do another podcast at least. We're going to try to get another one in. We don't know how much we'll be able to do while we're on the road.
We are prepared to do another one on the road,
right.
But because of signal strength and time and driving and all that, we're just not sure when it's going to happen.
So you might have a little extra time to guess this. Who knows?
Okay.
So the next vitamin will be vitamin E, ends in M, 10 letters.
Catholic vitamin E, ends in M, 10 letters.
Yes.
Send your guesses along with your contributions to our international mailing fund to catholicvitamins@gmail.com, catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And we look forward to picking up Sonia and Mariana and Justin and Fergal in the coming days. But, you know, with the lazy, hazy days of summer, who knows when we're all going to get together. Dee, do we have anything else to do?
I think we're wrapping it up.
Thank you, dear friends. And make sure you continue to take Catholic vitamins. And we'll look forward to joining you on the next episode when we can post it.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate,
patroness of our land.
Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.